So sometimes I feel like a bag lady because I'm usually schlepping a couple of bags with me everywhere I go. And I'm not talking about purses. I'm talking about bags, the things that we carry in addition to our purse. And usually I have about two with me. One has work stuff in it or family work stuff that I'll bring with me to work, carry it back and forth. And I usually have a second bag, and inside that bag is a bunch of other bags because it's a bunch of things that I need to return to stores, and I like them all in one place. And so I put them in a pretty bag because I could use the plastic grocery bags, but I mean, honestly, what fun is there in that? And so I kind of have a bag thing going on. And so much so that one time I was on the elliptical, and I started having this thought, I started thinking about bags. And so I'm going to bring you into my random thought process this morning. So are you ready? Okay. So I'm on the elliptical, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm sitting there working out, and I'm like, I like bags. I don't need more bags, but some of those bags are so cute, I just want to buy them. Bags are so helpful. They're so colorful. I mean, everybody uses bags. They're a good thing, right? And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, yeah, we all have bags. Oh, and baggage. Oh, shoot. It was like all of a sudden, I went from having this really shallow thought process to something real deep, real quick, and I wasn't prepared. And I'm like, ooh, baggage, yuck. We all have baggage, and that's not as much fun as just a pretty bag, right? But we all have it. Past mistakes, guilt, shame, circumstances, things that were done to us that tore our life apart that maybe we had absolutely no control over. And I'm like, ooh, I'm like, this is not a good thing. And probably as I'm thinking this through, I then went to probably what the heaviest bag is for a lot of us is just the inability to forgive ourselves. And we kind of carry these bags with us because we think that that's our identity, right? We carry them. I'm a failure. I'm a cheater. I'm unlovable. I'm unworthy. We kind of believe that our identity is found in those bags. And we just finished the I Am journey and our all-church journey, and hopefully you participated. And if you did, and you were in a small group, and you used the app, one of the things that we worked through was this whole idea of who are we, right? God is the great I Am. Who does he say that I am? And we wrestled with this, and we came to the conclusion, and we know that we are not our past hurts, right? We are not our past mistakes. Now, sometimes we'll put the bags down for a little bit, right? We'll kind of lay the bags there, but invariably we'll run back and we'll pick up one or two of them and we'll carry it with us because the past is just hard to let go. I mean, that's basically the bottom line, right? Frankly, the past is just really hard to let go. And this Christmas series we just started, Peace on Earth, you know, these are some of the reasons right here why it's difficult to have peace all the time, why it might be elusive or fleeting, or we have it for a little bit, but it's not a complete peace because there's things that we just haven't dealt with. And Kurt talked about, he kind of laid the scene for us about how God has made it possible for us to have peace with him. He has made peace available for us, but we have to be purposeful in our pursuit of peace. And that's throughout the whole series, really what we're going to be, kind of our working definition, is that peace is practicing the purposeful presence of God. And that's what we're celebrating at Christmas. It's God's rescue plan for humanity, right? God, through Christ, made it possible for us to have peace with him, right? Jesus came to earth for the sole purpose of dying for us. And when we accept Christ through faith, we make peace with God. Our souls are at rest. We have peace with him. And in turn, we can now pursue peace with others and bring peace on earth. Because really, here's the thing. You can have peace with God and not have peace with your past. And there's good news, though. 2,000 years ago, the angels declared this to the shepherds, and it's a Christmas passage that we love. And it's so important for us because this is huge for our past, okay? Luke chapter 2, 10 through 12. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." See, this is God acknowledging that we need a solution for our past, that we cannot fix our past. And his rescue plan covers our past. One of my favorite Christmas movies is A Christmas Carol, and I've seen just about every version of the story, from Mickey Mouse to the Muppets, and I have my favorites. But I love it because it is a story about redemption. And it's a story about Ebenezer Scrooge, and he is given a gift. He is shown his past in hopes that it will change the trajectory of his future. He is given a choice. And the ghost of Christmas past, he gets visited by a series of three ghosts, the Christmas past, present, and future. But the most important one, in my opinion, is the ghost of Christmas past, because he shows Scrooge his past. He shows him some select memories. Some are good, some are bad, right? He shows him times when he was hurt. He shows him times when things were done to him, then in turn when he hurt other people. But really the catalyst, the thing that puts Scrooge on this kind of path of seeking redemption and making peace with his past, is when he faces his past. That's really what starts it, is when he gets a glimpse of looking at what happened to him and who he has become as a result of it. Because you cannot experience complete peace now if you haven't made peace with your past. So I want you to do something for me right now. This is a group exercise. I want you to put your thumbs up, and you're going to repeat after me. Okay, you're going to say, "I can have peace now. I can have peace now if I make peace with my past. If I make peace with my past." Okay. I know you're not all doing it. I can see you. All right, ready? We're going to do it again. "I can have peace now if I make peace with my past." Okay, one more time. All group skate. "I can have peace now if I make peace with my past." How do we face the past? It's really difficult. It's going to be hard. Now, some of us don't need the ghost of Christmas past, right? I mean, we have this wonderful feature where we play these memories in our brain over and over and over again, unfortunately. And some memories torment us. And other memories condemn us, right? They remind us of what we've done in the past or how we've hurt or failed someone. When I was in junior high, there was a girl in my class named Rachel Miller. And for, I don't know, just a variety of reasons, and then sometimes no reason at all, she was the one who was bullied. She was the one who just wasn't quite accepted in the girl group. And girls can be mean. And so this was like 7th or 8th grade, and I can remember, it's such a poignant memory, because I remember where I was in the kitchen, and I was on the phone, and I was talking to Rachel, and it was one of those phones where it's connected to the wall, you know, like the vintage kind now that don't exist. You know, where you're walking and you can only go so far. And so I had to have this conversation in the kitchen. But I'm talking with her, and I can remember she was crying and she was really upset. And I was saying to her on the phone, "Rachel, it's going to be okay. I'm your friend. You know, it doesn't matter. I'm going to stick with you. I've got your back." And I really did mean these words. You know, I was sincere in what I was saying to her. But I remember saying, "Rachel, even if it's only just the two of us, I'm gonna still be your friend." Well, I wasn't, and I wish I could tell you that I was, but I wasn't, and I share it with you because for years, I mean, even still to this day, I mean, this happened how long ago? And I still can remember and even feel what I felt as a result of telling her those things and not following through. You know, it was like this reminder over and over again of, you know, you're not a good friend, you know, and you abandoned somebody and you've hurt them. And who knows how messed up they are now, you know, and so it was this memory that would condemn me over and over again. And I share it because all of us have a story, right? We could go around this room. Every one of us has something in our past that prevents us from having that complete peace right now. Because we haven't necessarily, you know, faced it, and it gnaws at you, right? It kind of bugs you and just keeps reminding you, "Hey, I'm still here. You know, you haven't dealt with me yet." And so this morning, We're going to do kind of some practical things. This isn't going to be anything super duper spiritual. This is going to be stuff that if you went to a counselor or to a psychologist, these are things, steps that they'd advise you to do for anyone who is trying to make peace with their past. Okay, so the first one we're going to tackle is we have to acknowledge the past and decide to let it go. Now, once again, for those who have the replay feature, lucky us. You don't need a ghost to remind you. It just keeps playing over and over again. But then there are some memories, right, that we don't want to acknowledge because the pain is so deep and severe that we've kind of buried it, right, and understandably so because it hurts so much. And so we don't want to acknowledge it. But we do all know that when things are not dealt with and left undone, what happens, right? They fester. I mean, things begin to, you know, show themselves in ways that you might not even connect the dots, right? But that pain that's not dealt with, it will manifest itself in different ways. Anger, bitterness, addictions, right? Things that we want to just, we don't want to acknowledge it, so we're going to try to numb the pain. You know, Scrooge is really a result of what happened to him in his past, and he never dealt with it. And as a result, it festered and it manifested itself in ways where he was just a mean, bitter old man. So we all have things that we want to keep buried. But the reality is, until we face our past, it's going to continue to have power over us. Until you face the past, you will always be the victim. When we are hurt or we've hurt someone else, what do? Usually as humans, our first thing is, well, we need to blame somebody, right? And it's a way that we deal with the pain. Even if it's we hurt someone, it's, well, because they made us mad. So that's why I did that. You know, I hurt you because you made me do it. So we tend to put the blame on somebody. And then because we've placed the blame, it's like, well, now they need to come and ask me for forgiveness because it's their fault, right? We want them to acknowledge what they did was wrong. And that's, it's totally normal and legit, and especially in a situation where somebody has hurt you, right? We expect them, they need to come ask us for forgiveness because ideally this is the way it would work, right? You hurt me, right? You say I'm sorry, I hurt you, I'm saying I'm sorry, right? I mean, this is a perfect way, but we're not perfect, right? We all fall short, we're sinful, we all have baggage. If we functioned that way, right? We wouldn't have baggage. So when it comes to our past, you can't wait for the person who's hurt you to come around and see the error of their ways and acknowledge that they've hurt you and come ask you for forgiveness because it's going to leave you completely powerless. Because, for example, say you do go to them and you confront them. Maybe it's your parent or a boss, your spouse, and you say, you know, you hurt me. And they say, no, I didn't. Or worse, what if they say, so what if I did? What do you do? I mean, there's a wound, it's gaping, right? You're left with anger and bitterness, and there's nowhere to go from there, right? There's no resolution. They're not going to give you any resolution. So we have to acknowledge the past offenses, and we have to make a decision to let them go and not wait. Romans 5:8 says, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. See, God himself made the first move. God decided to let it go. While you and I were out doing our thing, right, sinning and not paying any attention, God sent Christ. He put his action plan in place. He made the first move. He forgave us before we even knew that we needed to ask for forgiveness. And we can learn from that because there is a power in letting go. It releases the power of the offense over you. Healing doesn't mean that the damage never existed. It means the damage no longer controls your life. And that's huge. Number two, Another step that's going to help us make peace with our past is we've got to extract the good and learn the lessons. And I know there's been horrific things that we've been through, and it would seem ludicrous to even think that there could be a nugget of good or a lesson learned, that something we've gone through that we could possibly bring into our future that's going to help us. But even in the worst of situations, it is possible. I saw it played out before me a couple weeks ago. I was speaking at a women's retreat, and before each session, one of the women from the church would get up and share their story. And so in the evening session, a gal named Lori got up, and she started sharing her story, and it was like, bam, right out of the gate, she shared how, as a little girl, her mother was an alcoholic, and so she was verbally and physically abused as a child. And so her sisters, she had two sisters, she abused all of them, and they learned to just kind of have each other's back and watch out for one another. And one night they awoke to smoke, and there was a fire in the house. The neighbors actually got there before the fire department did, and so the neighbors were actually able to get the girls out, but they were not able to save the mother. And it's because that's where the fire had started. Her mom had committed suicide by soaking the bed in gasoline and then starting the fire. Now, if that was all she had to deal with, I would say that's more than enough to get over. But her story went on. After that, she grew up, never really dealt with any of the past. So married an abusive man, stayed with him for a while, fled, always wanted to be a chef. So after her divorce, she became a chef. And that was very short-lived because then she slipped in the kitchen and broke her back, and she was no longer able to stand for long periods of time. Then she started having all these mysterious ailments. And so she was going to doctors, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. Finally, they did after a long period of time, and it was really something as simple as she had these metabolic deficiencies in her system that when they were left unchecked and untreated, it literally just caused havoc on all the other systems in her body, one of which is mental illness. It just jacked her up from head to toe. And now she's under the care of a doctor and things are controlled, but in finding that diagnosis, something that they learned was that it was hereditary. And her mom had it. And her mom was just never diagnosed and never treated. And what amazed me is she went on, it was like, you know, boom, 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 like thing after thing after thing that she shared, was she stood before us and she was able to share with us the good that had come out of those situations. And it was amazing to watch because she ministered to so many women that night. Her story brought so much hope to people. Because when you hear of what people have gone through and they've made it to the other side, that's hope. You know, we don't like to share our stories, especially if it's something that we've done. But when you get to the other side, there is such a power in sharing your story with somebody else. That is good. You can extract the good from some of the crap, because it will bring hope to other people. Going through that has made us stronger. It makes us more resilient, right? It's giving us more compassion for those who have suffered or experienced what we have, right? In turn, it enables us to then lend a helping hand to somebody who's going through something and get them on the other side. Another optional extract the good nugget would be when you go through things that don't make any sense and there's no reason. Hopefully, my prayer for you is that your relationship with the Lord would grow. And that's a good that we can extract from some of the horrific things we've gone through. And I say it's optional because when you're hard-pressed, we have two choices, right? You'll either run to God or you'll run away from Him. I mean, that's how we function. But I can guarantee you that when you run to Him, I know that He'll get you to the other side. I know that He'll walk you through it. And it will hurt and it'll be painful when you're dealing with this stuff from the past. But there will be good. And that'll be a part of it, is that your faith will grow by leaps and bounds. The second part is taking some of the lessons learned. Because making peace with your past involves learning from your past. And this is going to be different depending on whether you were the one offended or whether you're the offender, right? Learning the lessons are going to be different. But upon reflection, I mean, there are lessons we can learn. We don't want to believe there are, right? Because we kind of want to wallow sometimes in our pain. But there are lessons to be learned. And one of which is the first thing a counselor will tell you is that as much as you want something to change and as much as you want someone to change, the only person that you can control is yourself, right? That's the only person and the only thing that you can control or change is yourself. And that's a huge lesson. Or realizing that no matter how bad a situation is, somebody else has gone through it, and maybe it's even been worse. And that doesn't negate what we're going through, but it comes back to that whole idea of there's hope. And somebody has gone through what you've gone through. You know, another lesson that's really hard is that we cannot undo the past, right? As much as we want to go back, as much as I would love to go back to that phone call, right? And maybe say the same things, but perhaps the next few days at school, walk it out the right way. You know, we can't. We have to learn that lesson, and we have to go forward and make today the best day we can, and then make the next day the best day we can. Now, depending on whether you're the offended or the offender, a lesson you may have learned from your past mistakes is that you need accountability in your life so that you don't continue in a pattern or so that you don't hurt someone else again. That might be a lesson you've learned. Or maybe a lesson that you've learned is that you need to learn how to stand up for yourself. And you need somebody to help walk you through that. In my situation with Rachel, I mean, I definitely learned how to be a better friend. You know, I mean, I learned what it's like to be a friend. And probably one of the biggest things I think I learned was that lip service can really hurt. You know, don't just say things that you don't think you can follow through on, you know? And I always think, oh my gosh, Rachel's probably in counseling to this day because of me, because I abandoned her. So there's lessons to be learned. And when you start replaying those memories, when that baggage starts going again, hit pause, okay? Do your best to hit pause and kind of, you know, view that memory outside of yourself if you can, you know? Think, I'm gonna extract one good nugget, and I'm going to extract one good lesson. Because that is a process, and once we do that with those memories, it really does help us begin to make peace with the past. Now, the last one, I saved the best for last. Okay, really, no, it's not the best. It's the hardest. And that is that making peace with your past involves forgiveness. And we don't like that word. Unless it's somebody coming to us saying, will you forgive me? And then we're like, yes, forgiveness is a good thing. But nobody likes to ask for forgiveness, right? Because then we have to admit that we have done something. But making peace with your past is going to involve forgiveness somewhere, on some level, right? Either you need to forgive someone, or you need to go ask somebody for forgiveness, or you need to forgive yourself in order to move forward. He who cannot forgive breaks the bridge over which he himself must pass. See, here's your past, and here's peace, and there's this bridge, and it's forgiveness. And even when we make peace with God, right, in our souls, it involves forgiveness, right? We have to pass over. God forgives us, but we have to accept that forgiveness, right, through Christ. So to get that peace with God, we still have to have forgiveness involved. Now, I think it's really hard because we have these lies and these things that we tell ourselves, like, what I've done is so bad, it's unforgivable, or I'm not worthy of forgiveness. Or if you're on the other side, right, there's that belief that, but if I forgive that person for hurting me, it's like it never happened. It's as if I'm saying that it's okay. And forgiveness doesn't mean that there was not an offense. Forgiveness doesn't mean that you can't be angry. Forgiveness doesn't mean that there still shouldn't be consequences or that healthy boundaries still might need to be in place. When you forgive, it doesn't mean that you're going to go on with life and just pretend like nothing happened, like I'll just sweep it under the rug. That's what forgiveness means. I'll just ignore it. Forgiveness means you're going to go on with life with your heart set free. And that's totally different. Now, especially hearing Lori's testimony of what she went through, all of us, and there might be some of us, that have some really big things like that that we have never dealt with or processed. And so I would highly encourage you to reach out to a counselor, a psychologist. Eric is on staff. That's one of the main reasons he's on staff. So if you want to reach out to him, and then he can kind of be there on the front end and guide you into connecting with somebody else who can help walk you through it, because these are really hard things. And forgiveness is probably one of the hardest things. But I want to add to that that in addition to getting help, okay, maybe with a physical person, I am a believer and follower of Christ, and I know from what I've experienced in my life, okay, that when it comes to this kind of stuff, forgiveness, He is really the only one that is going to be able to help you to forgive in some of these horrific circumstances, because it's kind of His deal. He's an expert, right? He's all about forgiveness. This is what He does. So for this one in particular, when you invite Him into that process, He will help you to forgive. So what's going to be your next step? Okay, we've outlined a few of these, and some of you may be further along in the continuum, right? Some of you might be in the three things that we've talked about. Maybe you've already done some of these things. There could be others of you who are like, I hated this morning. Why did I come? And why did Kurt let her speak? Because she's reminding me of all this junk that I need to deal with, right? So feel free to put that comment on here because I would like you to take this out. And we're going to kind of go through some of these next steps because we all want peace, right? I mean, we all want peace. Who doesn't want peace? And while you may have peace with your Savior, you may not have peace with your past. And so here are some action steps for us. The first one is you might need to just return to Crosspoint next week, right, and continue hearing this Christmas series on peace. You might be like, whoa, you just laid a bunch of stuff on me, and I'm not sure I'm there yet. And that is okay. So maybe you need to come back and just we'll continue to speak peace to you each week as you come. And we'll see what God does with that. I will acknowledge where I haven't made peace yet. You know, that could be a situation where you know it's there and you just haven't necessarily dealt with it. And this might be the year or the season that's going to be your first step, is I have to acknowledge it and make a decision to let it go. I will seek to extract the good and identify some lessons from my past hurts. Look for that nugget. Look for that lesson. That might be your next step. The last one is I will pursue forgiveness with a letter, a conversation, professional help. This arena of forgiveness is going to look different for everybody depending on where you're at, right? Whether you were the offended or you were the offender. You know, for some of us, it might just be a text message, right? It might be a face-to-face conversation. But there might be situations where it's just not healthy or safe for you to reach out and connect with the person who has hurt you, right? Or maybe they're no longer here. You can still have resolution with that. You can still proceed down this forgiveness path. One of the things that a counselor would say is to write it out, to journal. You know, a letter that you're not going to send, but there's something very cathartic in that process of forgiving and getting it out on paper. I'd also encourage you to invite the Holy Spirit into the process. He is our comforter. He is our guide, and He will help you. So whether it's a conversation, right, or a phone call, or before you sit down and write a letter, ask Him into the process because He wants to be there. He wants you to be set free. Now, at the beginning of this, I was sharing with you my random thoughts about baggage. And I know you're really excited to know there was more to that story. There's more to that random thought process. So we're going to go back into the mind of Julie, and I'm going to play out for you the rest of that, what happened there on the elliptical. Okay, so in my mind, we got to the baggage part, and I'm like really sad because I'm thinking, oh gosh, baggage is not as much fun as the pretty bags, and we all have it, and it really stinks, and is there any hope? And then I picture Jesus in a bellhop costume. And I started to get really happy. And I started to smile. Because the rest of the thought process in my brain, it went something like this. I'm standing there with all my baggage. And Jesus says, what's that? My crap. That's who I am. It's my past. It's all my stuff. And so he looks at the bags. And then he looks at me. And he looks at the bags. And then he looks back at me. And he goes to reach for a bag. And he says, but that's not who you are. Let me take that for you. You're a child of God. You have a new identity. You don't need these anymore. Let me take them. And so what he does is he carries them to the foot of the cross. And if you didn't know, the foot of the cross, okay, is the eternal lost baggage claim department. And he throws them in there. And it's swirling around, you know? I mean, floor to ceiling, bags everywhere. Some are little bags, some are big bags. But all of these bags are forgotten. Because in Christ, you have a new identity. And so even if you wanted to go pick up that bag, it's not yours anymore. Your name is no longer on that bag. It is forever lost. And a life verse for me is 2 Corinthians 15:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. In this may be your time. This may be the year now where you begin to make peace with your past. And if you need to borrow the image of Jesus in a bellhop costume from my brain, go for it. Whatever helps you make that connection from your head to your heart, that you know what, this does not define me any longer. And I need to address these things, and I need to allow God to cover them so that I can have peace with my past and move forward. Heavenly Father, you are so good that your rescue plan isn't just for our future. Your rescue plan isn't just for our present, but your rescue plan involves our past. And there are things that we can't fix, things that we did, things that were done to us, that God, we can't push back the hands of time. And Lord, you know that, but you've made provision for peace. God, I would just ask that every person in here, Lord, you would show them their next step. There are some things that are not fun, and we don't want to look at them. Lord, maybe we need to make peace with you first and foremost. And Lord, if that's our next step, I pray, Lord, that those would have the courage to ask you into their life and into their heart so that they can make peace with their Creator first and foremost. And God, after that, you fill us, Lord, with peace, and you fill us with the power, Lord, to pursue peace with our past. So help us, take our hand, show us our next step. And Lord, we thank you because we know it's possible. There's always hope. And there's always peace.